الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 328 in our series of عمدة الأحكام. We spoke about لعان. When someone says that my wife is cheating or this is not my son, we also spoke about when someone claims a child is his or belonging to his brother, which is not, and what is the ruling on that. Now we move on to something that is close to that, hadith number 328, and who will read that for us? Yes, Sahih.
Narrated Aisha radhiyallahu anha, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once entered upon me in a very happy mood, with his face glittering with joy, and said, O Aisha, look just now at Zayd bin Haritha and Usama bin Zayd, and said, these feet of Usama and his father belong to each other. In another narration, Mujaziz was an expert in lineage.
Okay, now this hadith is related to the topic of claiming someone to be the son of, or disclaiming him. Because as we've mentioned before, Zayd ibn Haritha, may Allah be pleased with him, was the son in adoption. He was the adopted son of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He was given to Khadija as a slave by Hakim ibn Hizam, and she in turn gave him to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام freed him. He loved him so much that he was known among the people of Quraysh as Zayd ibn Muhammad, until Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited adoption. So he became Zayd ibn Haritha once again, called after his father. He was married, and the Prophet alayhi salam married him first to his cousin, Zaynab bin Jahsh, who was an honorable woman from Quraysh, Arabian. And Zayd was a free slave, so he was looked down upon. But they married, they did not have a happy marriage, and eventually they divorced. And the Prophet was instructed and ordered by Allah to marry Zaynab, so that the Arabs would know that the wife of the previously adopted son is not forbidden. So he married her, and Zayd ibn Haritha was to be married to Ayman, who was an Abyssinian slave and who was very old. Yet he married her, and subhanallah, got Usama from her. Zayd ibn Haritha was white, and Usama, his son, was pitch black. So people talked and gossiped, this is not his son, maybe his wife did this, maybe did. And the Prophet was, alayhi salam, angered and hurt by this, because Zayd ibn Haritha's nickname was Hubbu Rasulillah, meaning the love of the Prophet alayhi salam. The Prophet loved him so much that it was beyond imagination. And his son, Usama, was like a grandson to the Prophet alayhi salam. So he was Hibbu Rasulillah ibn Hibbihi. So when the people talked and gossiped about him not being the son of Zayd, the Prophet was very saddened by that, until Mujaziz. And he is from a particular tribe known to be tracers and trackers. When people travel in the desert and you want to follow them, you have special trackers to do that. This man is one of them. He's so keen. We see the streets, we see the roads, we see the desert. We don't see anything. They are gifted by Allah to see tracks and a broken branch or a small stone turned. And he was an expert in lineage as well. So he knows by looking at you that you have in your lineage blood traces to this country or to that ethnicity or to that region. It so happened that the Prophet entered upon Aisha, and he was very joyful and happy. You can see it in his face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, when asked by Aisha, good news do you have, O Prophet of Allah? He said, Mujaziz came into the house or into the room, and Zayd and Usama, father and son, were lying next to each other, covering their faces and their bodies with a blanket, only exposing their feet. So a young child of 4 or 5 years and his father. And Mujaziz looked at these feet and he said that they are related. They are from each other, giving the green light that they are a father and son, not knowing them, not knowing who they are. So the Prophet ﷺ was very happy because this adds to the fact that he is his son. Now we have someone also to confirm this, and that is why he was happy. And scholars usually talk, is the information we get from someone like this, like Mujaziz, would be sufficient to prove whether he is that person's son or not? The answer is no. But with the circumstantial evidences that are surrounding an issue, this would add some value to the issue. The following hadith, hadith number 329. Okay, the microphone, please.
Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported, mention was made about al-Azl in the presence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereupon he said, why would anyone of you practice it? He did not say, one of you should not do it, for there is no soul created except Allah had created it. In another narration, Jabir ibn Abdullah said that we used to azl, withdrawing during intercourse while the Quran was revealed.
The hadith that you've just heard is addressing an issue which is known as al-azl. What is al-azl? It's a way or it's a means of not having the wife pregnant. And it is, as described, withdrawing before ejaculating. So what's the ruling on that? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not say, do not do it. Though there is a hadith which states that al-azlu al-wa'du al-khafi, al-maw'uda. You know what is al-maw'uda? وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Al-maw'uda is a child that is killed while in her infancy, while she is a child. And this is done either to avoid shame in the future, fearing that she would do something shameful to the honor of the father, or due to the fact that the father does not want this boy or girl child to eat with him. So the Prophet is saying that al-azl, which is not completing the sexual intercourse with the wife or with the concubine and withdrawing before ejaculating, this is as if you're killing a child, but it is secret because there is no child to kill. But your intention is that a child would not be created. So scholars looked into these two evidences and they differed whether it is permissible or not. The hadith of Jabir clearly indicates that it is permissible. How do we know? Yes.
He said that the Prophet did not say that don't do it.
Before that?
They used to do it.
They used to do it while the Quran was revealed. And this is one of the ways that indicates that this is attributed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because we know the sunnah is one of four. Actually, the first three that counts, but the fourth is also good to know. The sunnah is either what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered. So he says, do this or don't do that. This is what's considered to be sunnah. Example, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, خَالِفُ الْيَهُودَ وَالْمَجُوسُ وَالنَّصَارَى اِعْفُ اللِّحَى. Grow your beard. This is rhetoric. The second type of sunnah is what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if we see that the Prophet had done something, I can do it. Why? Because the Prophet, sunnah, the actions of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to pray in this fashion. He used to prostrate in this fashion. This is a description of his actions. The third thing or definition of sunnah is what the Prophet, alayhi salam, has approved. So if the Prophet saw one of his companions, like Khalid ibn Walid, eating the dab. Dab is a desert lizard, a big lizard that lives in the desert and has meat into it. And the Prophet saw Khalid eating it and he did not comment. Not commenting meaning that is approval. And likewise, the hadith of Jabir, because he said, we used to do it and the Quran is being revealed. Meaning, if it was prohibited, the Quran would have said, don't, or the Prophet would have said, don't. The fourth type of sunnah is descriptive sunnah, which is describing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam being not tall and not short, and that he was white alayhi salatu wasalam, that his eyes was this big, his fingers were that big. So the description of the Prophet alayhi salam is part of the fourth category of sunnah. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.